I want you to take your Bible tonight and let me set this all this aside here and get myself all straightened out here and turn to 2 Peter, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 3. I've got two different sets of notes here, and I'm just kind of debating on what direction to go in. I was thinking about some things today and was looking over the notes. It's been a while since I've been here on Wednesday night. We was gone last Wednesday night with Thanksgiving holiday, and sometimes I got to go back and I got to check in on sermon audio and find out what I preached on, find out where I'm at. And so I was going over it today, and I was looking at it and praying about it, and there's been a question in my mind over the years about something that's said in the Bible. And I can remember several years ago as I was studying it, it just seemed like to me it was a conflict in my mind. I don't believe there's conflicts in the Bible. I believe the Bible will explain the Bible. Amen? And so it's up to us to learn and to study and to try to get as much as we can. And God will start sifting everything out. He's real good at it. And but anyway, here's where I'm going to go with it for a little while tonight. As we look in 2 Peter chapter 3, I tell you what, let's go to verse 8 and start. We'll just read our way down. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now verse 9 is very important. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. And that idea is that of a rope. Okay. God has got a tight rope. Okay. He doesn't slack it. If God says it's going to be on the third day, it's not going to be on the fourth day or the fifth day or the second day. It's going to be on the third day. That's God. He's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now look at verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a what? What does that say there in your Bible? As a thief in the night. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, verse 13, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, I want to go back to verse 10, and we're going to look at a couple places in the Bible. And even while I was praying just a little while ago, I think God was kind of leading that direction. God helped me with understanding something. He said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not, but that is not the only place in the Bible where that is mentioned. And I'll give a free DVD to anybody who can tell me where else the Bible says. See, I'm not offering you much, am I? Free DVD, that ain't much, okay? It won't have anything on it. It'll be blank, okay? Just here it is. You can use it as a coffee, holder or whatever. But anyway, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Does anybody else know where that is mentioned in the Bible? And you smart ones are looking up on your search engine. Somebody said somewhere in Revelation. Actually, you're right. Tell you what let's do. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. I'll just help you out. All right. Here was my struggle. Okay, I'd heard this all my life. In fact, some of us remember back in the day, back in the old days, in the 70s, and when I was a young boy here, back then we didn't have videotapes and video cameras and computer videos, and we didn't have anything like that. And back then there were some ministries that were making films, real film, 16mm films, and we just don't still have it, but at the time we had a film projector here at the church, had a screen, and we would rent these films to watch. They were evangelistic. One was called The Burning Hell. Here I am. I'm about a 9 or 10 year old boy watching this. When I look at it now, it's on YouTube. You can find it. When I look at it now, I'm just going, that is so cheesy. Okay. Wow. Look at the real special effects on that one. Okay. But I'm 10 years old, and I'm scared to death of dying and going to hell. Amen. I mean, it worked back then. And there was another one called A Thief in the Night, and it was about the rapture. Okay? And I've seen it several times. In fact, you can probably find it on YouTube and watch it if you want to. I don't know if that I necessarily agree with how that movie's laid out. But that's just me. It could be that way. Could be some other way. But I've always heard this idea of him, you know, it being as a thief in the night, a thief in the night, a thief in the night. Now, I remember studying this several years ago, and I just was thinking, now, hold on a second. Thou shalt not steal. Because I was reading a prophecy website. This goes back into the late 90s. I was reading a prophecy website, and they were talking about how they thought the rapture, where Christ is going to appear in the clouds, going to call up his people and so on, that there was a Jewish custom. This is what I was reading back then. There was a Jewish custom about how they did some weddings, where the bride would be waiting in a chamber, and in the middle of the night, the bridegroom would come and steal away the bride in the middle of the night, and no one was supposed to know about it. And I'm reading this, and I'm just going, okay, I have a problem here. Number one, Jewish customs. I'm not familiar with that, and I don't see a whole lot of them in my Bible. And the ones I do, Jesus said, it's not about your customs. It's about the Word of God, okay? You've made the Word of God of no effect because of your customs. And then the second thing I'm looking at, I had to ask the question, is Jesus a thief? The answer is, the immediate answer is no, he is not a thief. Thou shalt not steal. We know that Jesus did not sin. And he is not coming to steal the people that he has already bought and paid for. Amen? He owns us all. He's got, listen, here's the bill of sale right here. Amen? It's all signed, sealed, and delivered. So I kind of got away from this, you know, Jesus is the thief that's going to come and steal the church away. I could not reconcile that in my mind. So what does it mean? God, show me what this means about, you know, he will come as a thief in the night. Now, I know who the thief is. Amen? I know who the thief is. The thief, I believe, is the devil. And anybody who acts in a devilish way, the thief will always try to get in where he does not belong. And Jesus himself said, he said, I'm the door of the sheepfold. Anybody that's normal, that wants to come in, they'll come in through me. But he said the thief won't do it. The thief will try to come in some other way. And you just think about how the devil operates. He never walks in the door and says, I'm Lucifer, everybody bow down to me. He will never do that. He will come at people some other way. He's very slick and he's very subtle. That both of those words start with an S, and so does the word snake. Amen? So anyway, but that's how he works. And he said the thief always comes to kill and to destroy. And he said, I've come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. So he's contrasting himself with this idea of him being a thief. And so I do not believe that Jesus is coming to steal anything. Amen? So what is this idea? What does this mean when he talks about, so come as a thief in the night? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is going to give us a little bit of understanding on this. He said, verse 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, we're going to read a few more verses, and we're going to go back, get ready to go back to Matthew 24. All right? So he says, you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction. There's that word there. Destruction and destroyed and destroyer. Study that in your Bible. The thief comes to kill and to destroy. So it is the thief that will bring the destruction. All right? Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren. Now he's contrasting something here. This, I think, is very important to understand. Okay? That he's contrasting those who live for Christ and those who believe the Word and those who don't. And he says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. How easy is it to watch your house in the daytime? Very easy. How easy is it to do it at night in the darkness? It's not special. If you especially go back in Jesus' day when they didn't have all the electric lights everywhere. It's very difficult. He said, you're not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And so he's telling us, he's a contrast again between those who are in the light, which is the gospel, which is the word of God, which is the Holy Spirit, all of these things working together in our lives to give us knowledge and understanding. And you don't have to study all the things that I study. You don't have to keep up on science. You don't have to keep up on history. You don't have to keep up on the latest movies that are coming out, the symbolisms that are there and everything. I mean, that's what I do, but you don't have to do all that. You can just kind of look around you and go, I know it's going to get worse, but I don't think it could get that much worse. And I think we're getting closer to the coming of the day of the Lord. Does that sound about right to everybody? Amen. Okay, you just look at a little bit of news every day, read a newspaper every now and then and go, boy, Lord, you're going to have to come soon. Okay, God's people will always have an awareness. God will always tell them. God will always bless them. God will always help them. And they will always be ready. God's people will always be ready. Somebody say amen. Now, what is this? What is this? Day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. I had it in my mind to just teach and preach right out of Matthew 24 and make some people mad. Because it probably would. Matthew 24. Just hold on there. Let me read a couple more verses for you. Okay? Somebody said Revelation. Jesus did say it. And here's how he said it in Revelation. Revelation 3:3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Here he's saying it. He said, I will come on thee as a thief. But why would he do that? And he just explained it. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. What is he telling us? And again, there's some people that just have big problems with this, and I don't. I think Christian people, if you look at Revelation 3:3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. I believe Christian people hold fast and repent. Amen? And somebody said, well, you don't have to. Okay, I want to. How's that? Because me doing it because I want to is a whole lot better than what I have to. Amen? I have to get out of bed sometime before 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to. Okay? But every now and then, I got something on my mind, something I need to do, and when it's time to get up, I get up, and I'm doing it because I want to. Okay? You didn't come here because you had to, except for you guys didn't drive. Okay? You're here because you want to be here. And it makes it enjoyable. Amen? It makes it worth it. You people watching online, nobody's taping computer monitors to your eyelids saying, watch this. Okay? You're doing it because you want to. And so anyway, that's what Christian people do. But he said, if thou therefore shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Because I think watching is always in relation to praying, repenting, living, being a testimony, knowing the Word of God, established on the Word of God. I think all of these go hand in hand. Praying people, watch. Amen? And I think he's talking about people who kind of start out and then they just kind of fade away and fizzle out. And he's saying, I will come on you as a thief and you'll not know what day. And I want to tell you, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. I want God to write it in the sky. Okay, I want to know. Amen. I want to know. I do not want that to happen as a thief. Then he said in Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. There's that word blessed again. If you're blessed, you are saved. If you're cursed, you're not saved. You cannot be cursed and be saved at the same time. It does not work. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Think about what nakedness represents in the Bible. The first thing, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what happened to them? Boom. Their eyes were open. They realized they were naked. They went immediately to cover themselves. Because shame and nakedness and sinfulness all go together. The shame of their nakedness. Christ told the Laodicean church. He said, you think you're rich and doing well. And he said, you're poor and miserable and blind and naked. And he said, you need to be clothed upon. You need to be right with me. But he said, I will come on thee as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. I got a real neat idea on that, but I'm going to hold off for now. Now Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at, my goodness, I don't even know where to start. Let's look at verse 42, and then maybe we'll back up a little bit, all right? Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. I have an idea that my Bible is a unified testimony. That's what I believe, okay? I believe all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished in all good works. I do not believe in excluding portions of the Bible because it doesn't fit your ideology. Okay? That's what a sodomite would do behind a pulpit. He would exclude portions of the Bible because it doesn't fit with what he believes in. Okay? I do not believe in that. I believe that we have a unified testimony of Jesus Christ. It comes in the form of two witnesses, just like your two ears and your two. Isn't it neat how your ears tell you where somebody's talking to you from? Have you ever thought about that? When somebody's talking to you, you've got two ears, and they're both designed to give you direction of which way to turn your head. Okay? And Caleb nailed it, and I got it wrong. We heard a deer coming up behind us. And I turned around like this, and I had the gun, and I was shaking like a leaf ready. And he's going, Dad, she's over here. Oh, there she is. I got it wrong. I don't know how I got it wrong, but I got it wrong. But the two ears are designed to hear the same thing, but tell you where what direction it's coming from. The same thing with your two eyes. They're designed to give you depth perception and so on, but they're seeing the same thing. This Bible is a unified understanding of everything that God is and His plan and His ways and how God saves and who He saves. Somebody say amen. Because, and I'm saying this because there are people, when they read Matthew 24, they don't like what it says because it disagrees with their statements. So they take it, and they take the whole gospel, and they take all four gospels, and it's almost like they're just separating them out of their Bible and say, don't read that, that's not for us, it doesn't have any application for us, don't worry about it. Okay? And I cannot do that. I cannot justify that kind of choppiness in the Bible. So he says in verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And we do not know the hour. Okay? I am not looking for the hour. I'm not trying to dig it out of the Bible. I do not know the hour. Verse 43, but know this. Here we go. You don't know the hour, but you're going to know this. Know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then? Verse 45, look at this. Who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What happens to the people who don't watch? Go to hell. And you know what I've been told, Sterling? Well, obviously this is a portion of heaven where they weep and gnash. Come, get out. Amen. Okay? Now let's go back to this. So here's why I want you to understand. Number one, Jesus is not a thief. You don't have to write that down. I think it's obvious. Amen? He's not coming to steal anything. He's not coming to take anything that's not his. He is coming. By the way, the whole earth is going to be his. Amen? God's going to have him the book, which is the symbol of his power, and he's going to have authority over the entire world, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. So he's not coming. He is not the thief, and he's not coming to steal anything. But here's what he's telling us. This is what he said in Revelation 3 and Revelation 16. And this is what you'll find in 1 Thessalonians 5. And this really, 2 Peter chapter 3, the day of the Lord will so come as a thief in the night. He's telling us that the day
and his coming is going to be like a thief who comes. And he said, this is what he's saying here in Matthew 24. He said, if you were the good man of the house, you were the chief servant of the house, and the Lord was gone, and he had told you, watch over all of my goods. You remember Potiphar? You remember Joseph's master, Potiphar? Potiphar sat down, ate his bread and ate his soup, and other than that, he had no idea what he had under his hand because he trusted Joseph. Joseph, I've given you everything that I've got into your hand. You take care of it. And Joseph made him a wealthy man. And he had no idea what he had. He just knew it was a lot of it. He just knew that he could get pretty much what he wanted. And he had plenty of money, plenty of cattle, plenty of this and everything like that. And he said, and here's Joseph, and he's faithful in that. And here's the Lord. He has given us a stewardship over his house, over his kingdom in this world. He has given that into our hands. And he tells us, now I'm going to leave, and I'm going to be gone. I'm not sure when I'm going to come back, but I want you to take care of everything that I've got here. Big responsibility. But he picked you. So he asks you to take care of it. Take on that responsibility. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That means trustworthy. That means God can count on you to do what he asks you to do. Amen? And we're already in our minds, we're going, boy, I don't know if I do that enough. Work on it. It'll get better. Amen? So you're the Lord of the house and you're watching over the owners, the master's things. You hear a rumor in town. You hear talk that about a certain time of the night, some fellows down at the saloon have been talking too loudly, drunk, and they're talking, and they've been talking about going to where you live in your Lord's house and trying to steal stuff. And it came to you. You heard about it. And you had heard that after about 1 o'clock in the morning, they were going to show up. What are you going to be doing, John? Sitting there waiting. Amen. Okay. One here, one slung over the back, clips, okay? Yeah, you're ready to go, okay? You know what you're doing? You're watching because you've already heard, okay? They're coming, maybe one, maybe later than that, maybe earlier than that. You're not going to go to sleep and then get up at 12:45, are you? You're going to sit up all night, Sterling, and you're going to watch for these guys. And if they show up, stinks to be them. Amen? When the Lord comes back and he sees that you've been watching, he'll bless you because you loved your master enough to do what he asked you to do. It's a good parable, isn't it? It's a good story. Okay? Then there's that other guy. He's working. He gets paid. He does a little bit here and there. He doesn't care about anything. You can tell. You've worked with people like that, haven't you? I have. He doesn't care about anything. Just wants to get paid. Just get the paycheck and run home and get drunk or whatever. And he comes back, but he doesn't care. He falls asleep. He's thinking to himself, why do I have to? This stuff ain't mine. I don't care if he loses it or not. What's that up to me? You've worked with guys, haven't you, who had it in their mind. That company's making money. I don't care if they lose all that stuff. That's a terrible attitude. If you got that attitude, you need to repent. Amen? But anyway, here's this unjust servant who doesn't care. He may have heard something about it, but he doesn't care, and he goes to bed. And lo and behold, the thieves didn't come, but the master did at 1 o'clock in the morning. And he finds the unjust servant sleeping and drunk. And he says, I'm going to take, if you look at verse 50, he said, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites,
there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's going to take everything that he's got away from him, divide it and give it to other people, and he's going to take it away from them. And he said, you get nothing. And actually, he's telling there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that is hell, my friend. That's exactly what that is. And so this idea that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Remember that Jesus is not the thief. He's not coming to steal anything. But he knows the thief is coming. There is, in fact, here, do this. Take your Bible. Turn to Joel, if you would. Okay, this is going to tie into that. We've looked at Joel before in relation to the day of the Lord. And Joel is all about the day of the Lord. Joel chapter 2, if you would, please. And let's go back and cover this in this light. All right? He says in Joel chapter 2, verse 1, blow you the trumpet in Zion, a sound and alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. There it is, the day of the Lord. He said, it's a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and of horsemen so shall they run. Study Revelation 9. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as the strong people set in battle array. Therefore, before their face, the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war, and shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another, neither shall they shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. In verse 9, they shall run to and fro in the city, they shall run upon the wall, they shall climb upon the houses, and they shall enter in at the windows like a what? There's your thief right there. This that he's describing here in Joel 2, it is coinciding with the release of these locust devils out of the bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 9. The similarities are just, they're too much to ignore. It also matches in Deuteronomy 28, God told Israel, he said, for not keeping my laws, I'm going to send a nation upon you. And it's a nation of fierce countenance. Think of all these idols that have been carved out. These Eastern idols, like from China and Japan. And you can see their faces. And there are no idols in Japan with happy faces. They all have this mean, evil look upon them. Totems. When they carve totems, they put fierce faces on these things. Okay? A lot of people will have fetishes in their houses, or they have certain idols in their houses, and they'll have something carved with a mean face, and that is supposed to scare off other devils. I never did understand that, but anyway, that's their idea. And all these idols that people have drawn and carved out over the years are these gods with these fierce faces, and I think that that plays into that. This is a nation of fierce countenance. When you look at somebody and they're looking at you in a fierce way, you know that you are in trouble. I could one look at my mom and I knew I was in trouble. Amen? Okay? That's how this is going to be. And he said, it's a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. And I'm not going to get into all that tonight. But that, all of that, that nation there, Deuteronomy 28, Joel chapter 2, Revelation chapter 9, it's mentioned in Jeremiah, several places in there. This is what we're dealing with. And when they come just like that. Paul used the illustration of like travail coming upon a woman with child. We have looked at that, but just think about it. Here we got three women in our church that are expecting babies. Okay? And even though they've given the date, Jared, okay? They've given the date now. This is the day it's going to be. If nothing happens before then, this is the day that it's going to be. God's got a sense of humor. Amen? God's schedule is not necessarily our schedule, amen? And it could happen anytime. Jared, if you got like a, she has like a little bag packed and, or she's getting there. Getting there, okay? When Lisa was in those years,
And when it came close, she had a bag packed. She had this ready. We had plans made. This is what we're going to do when this happens and so on. And one of those nights came, boom, and the plan went into operation. And we made it to the hospital. Yay, so I don't have to deliver a baby in a car. I really didn't want to do that, dear. Okay? But anyway, that's the idea. He's going to come quickly. He's going to come speedily. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he says it's going to be at the last trump. And I have to believe that. I have to believe the last trump. Okay? So the thing, and anybody, and you've heard me teach this before, I'm just going to say it again and we'll go home. You think about this and pray about it, all right? God's people know, and the devil's people won't. It's as quick as that. Noah knew. Lot knew. They both knew. Wasn't no big surprise to Noah. Noah, 7 days. How's that? 7 days? You don't need to know the hour, do you? No. 7 days. Okay? And God is not slack, is he? What happened on the seventh day? And it went for 40 days. And at the end of 40 days, it quit raining. Water quit coming up. God's not slack. And he says it's going to be this way, and it is going to be this way. And our goal, our object in the days that we're living, because I look at some things in this world I see going on, and I know some things I think are going to have to be in place. And some people are saying, you know, it's going to be, you know, maybe 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now or whatever. What if something happens and makes it come quicker? So I don't think that I've got another 30 years and then it'll come. I don't think I've got another 10. I think that it could come tomorrow, tomorrow night. I don't know when. But are you ready? Is the thing. Are you ready? You've already been told that the Master may come at any time. Are you ready? Are you looking for him? Okay? Sterling and I used to work for, you know, old Ron DeGonia. Okay? You don't know the other Ron DeGonia that we knew. Okay? And he's, don't get me wrong, he's a good guy. Okay, he fed my family at a time when times were tough. And I love him to death for it. But he always had a knack, Sterling, for showing up while we were working on something when we least. We would be looking at something that didn't look quite right and say, now's about the time old Ron to pull up. Here he comes. I don't know how he did it. He just always, Sterling thought that he always hit around the corner, waited, and yeah. But we just knew it was going to happen that way. And the Lord is going to come like that. And there is going to be a thief involved, but it's not the Lord. The thief is going to come and he's going to kill and he is going to destroy. And a lot of people are going to be devastated. Jared mentioned something earlier, and I appreciate, Jared, you saying that. Is that you just felt like God was laying it on your heart to speak to this particular person. Okay? Now I want you to be sensitive to that. Okay? I'm not, believe it or not, when it comes to one-on-one with somebody that I don't know very well or somebody I don't know at all, I'm not real good at just jumping in, hey, let's talk about the Lord. Okay? But I've been in situations where if they opened the door, I didn't have a problem walking in, okay? And I mean, you know, just in a conversation or with strangers or whatever. If someone opened the door, I didn't mind going in and just talking to them about the Lord. Be sensitive to God dealing with you and using you in situations where he's going to lay something on your heart to talk to somebody. Because I'll tell you, there is no greater blessing on this earth to know that God took an old skunk like you and caused you to open your mouth and sow a seed in somebody's life, and that seed came to pass. There's nothing like it. You'll cry like a baby when you realize that God used you to save somebody or to bring somebody back home. Nothing in the world like it. Be sensitive to it. Okay? Ask for it. Ask for it. God will give it to you. I promise you he will. You ask him. God, give me somebody to talk to this week. Give me somebody, I don't care who it is, somebody I can talk to and just lay on them John 3:16. Be done with it. All right? He's coming. Let's stand to our feet. He's coming.